Okay, so the first thing they tell you in presentation school is never apologize for anything. So I'm going to start by apologizing. I don't like talks with lots of code in them, but I couldn't really talk about ES6 without having a lot of code. So there is a lot of code here, but all the examples should be fairly simple, and hopefully that works just fine. So the motivation for this talk is to really get you to go and play with ES6, and along the lines of what Remy said in the introduction, I don't believe in people being told to constrain the language to only certain parts. I don't like to confine the space that you can actually work in. And because ES6 is not even out, this gives us a great opportunity before the Crockfords, before the rest of that ilk start telling us what we shouldn't do. You can do anything right now. You can go into ES6 and you can just play to your heart's content. And I've done this a little bit, and this is what I have. So this is a tweet that I sent out fairly recently, and it's like totally honest, and because I'm a very hypocritical person, so I wanted to get this out of the way. I've been a thorn in the side of ES6 standard for the last 3 years, complained about almost everything that they've actually done, but I really like the end result, or at least the bits that I'm going to show you. And that's another hypocritical thing, right? Because I say you should use all of it, and now I'm just showing you the bits that I like. Okay, and so now I'm going to give a talk on how it's really good. I think this is kind of important because we should, as developers, we should wear two hats. We should contribute to the standard as it's being developed, and we should celebrate the standard once it's out there. So again, that's what I'm planning to do. So as far as I know, and no one's quite certain, the first full draft of the ES6 standard is due out early 2014. And as soon as it comes out, the fun police will come. And they'll tell you how to write ES6, or rather, how not to write it. But until then, go wild with ES6, and that's the point of my talk. I did a talk and wrote an article recently. If Hemingway wrote JavaScript, it's essentially taking some of our great authors and imagining what it would be like if they wrote JavaScript. And the reason I was inspired to do that is because JavaScript is such a flexible language. You can write it in so many ways. You can put your own stamp on it. You can write it in your own style. So I thought, let's play with authors and see it. So this is the Fibonacci series as Hemingway would write it. I'm not going to dwell on this too long. You can go and see the slides for this talk if you want. And this is if Kerouac wrote JavaScript. See, that's how he writes. So this talk is going to be if ES6 wrote JavaScript. And you see, poor ES6 is slightly apprehensive because he's never really shown his code yet to anyone. And he's got a few tricks up his sleeve, but he's not sure how this is gonna actually go. This is going to be a slightly unconventional talk in that I think most of the articles and presentations about ES6 up to this point have been fairly theoretical. They've looked at the feature by feature, and just showed you examples of each one. But I want to turn that on its head, and I want to look at problems that we all have to solve, and compare how we did that in ES5 or ES3 or some other ES to how we might now do it in ES6. So I tweeted this. This is obviously a version of the Monopoly game, and the properties around the edge are all the ES6 teachers that are coming up. Got my pointer the wrong way around. So proxy, spread, default. So these are exactly the ones I'm going to be talking about here. And as I give each example, I'm going to color code and highlight the feature, the ES6 feature that I'm using here. When I tweeted that out, I got a response from a friend of mine saying I feel like I've been landing on chance every turn. And I know exactly what he meant, and that was actually the inspiration for how this talk is going to go. So we are going to play this game, ES6opoly, and we're going to land on chance every single time. And what chance is going to do is it's going to ask you a question. You're going to have a problem to solve. And like I said, we're going to solve it in ES5 and then in ES6. So here's the first chance card. Fairly easy problem. Switch to variables. So in ES5, this is fairly elementary, right? You had to create a temporary variable, assign A to it, then assign B to A, and then temp to B. With ES6, you can use a destructuring assignment, which maps the keys on the left-hand array to the values on the right-hand array. So as you can see, we've fairly neatly switched the variables without any fuss. Number two, find the biggest number in an array. So mathmax is a function in JavaScript that you all know, and it takes arguments, and it doesn't take an array. So we have to use the apply function to allow the array to be an argument. And there's this very awkward moment where we need a context, but we don't have a context here, so you can pass anything you like there, and it's kind of unintuitive to anyone looking at it. And then ES6 has this spread operator, which is very handy. Means take an array, and these three dots represent the spread operator. Take an array and make it into comma separated arguments. So bang, that's all you have to do. Next up, sum the arguments. So you have a function, you pass some arguments, return the sum of the arguments. ES5, so again, a lot of you are probably familiar with this, the old trick where you convert arguments to an array because arguments is not a true array object, and then call reduce on the array to accumulate. ES6 goes about this differently. It has the rest operator, which is similar to spread. In fact, it's exactly the same. But it works on arguments and converts arguments to an array. And so numbers now in the body of the function is an array. So no awkward trick to convert array to arguments. And then we use the arrow function. We're actually using two arrow functions. One for the overall function, sum function, and one for the reduce, the higher order function. So you can see that's nice and clean and compact. Now, the old interview question. Remove the duplicates from an array. So this is the classic interview answer because all object keys are unique. So you can just iterate the array and assign each element to an object key and then get the object keys at the end. The problem is array keys are also strings. They have to be strings. So if you have a number one and a string one, they'll both get coerced to the same thing. And this method will think they are the same. So you'll only get a single instance when you should get two. There's another ES5 way of doing it. This one works for all types, but the ordering's bad. And all this does is basically, for each element, it looks ahead to see if there are any other occurrences. And because it doesn't know, like, the first occurrence, if there's two, the first one won't get added because there's a subsequent occurrence. So the second one will, which means the order is completely out. So that's got its troubles too. And look, there is ES6. That's all you have to do. That is now the unique members of an array. And set is a brand new type for ES6, where all the values are unique. Set constructor takes an array as the argument. It can take any kind of collection object as the argument. I think it can also take comma-separated arguments too. And then our old friend, the spread operator, converts that to comma-separated arguments. You have an array literal around the outside there, and the result is an array with all the duplicates taken out. That's pretty neat. Fibonacci numbers. So this thing where you have a next temporary variable, you assign A plus B. It's kind of it's an awkward kind of shuffling of arguments thing. Going on here, and we finally push the result here. In ES6, this is kind of nice because in one line we can express the essence of Fibonacci. So we're using a destructuring assignment to replace all those lines of code, and this is a very common feature with ES6. It allows you to do much more functional things, which condenses what you're doing to a formula. And see, this is basically the formula for how the Fibonacci series works. So you push B to A and A plus B to B. Very succinct. And that is how destructuring works with Fibonacci. There's another ES6 solution using generators. To be honest, I'm not quite sold on the whole generator thing. I think it often results in more code than you actually want. But as an example of how generators are used, here it is. So every time you have a next here, it says go to the next yield statement in the code and return whatever there. So we have a yield every time in the while loop, and we're yielding one, and we're yielding two, and you carry on through the series. Factorial. So factorial is really easy. You can do like a recursive thing, and it's just as easy in ES5 as it is in ES6. But there's an approximation called Ramanujan's approximation, which uses a formula. And the nice thing about this approximation is that it doesn't just work for integers, it works for any number. So you can get a factorial of any number. There's a technical mathematical term for this. Someone might actually know it. It's not called factorial when you don't do it for integers, but anyway. I've forgotten what the term is. So this is all good. This is ES5. But you're using the math object constantly. Math there. A lot of extra code makes it hard to actually read. So in ES5, if you wanted, and I would have done this, by the way, you could use the with statement. So with means with whatever context, look up the property in that context. I think this is perfectly fine and perfectly safe. Most people don't, and they wouldn't use the with statement, and in strict mode you can't use the with statement. And the main issues with are performance, because you have to look up the closure scope every time. And if your property is unexpectedly not in the with context, then you might accidentally update something. You might create an implicit global. So, you know, we all shy away from using this statement. In ES6, you don't have to, because you can use a destructuring assignment to do exactly the same thing. So here we have an object on the left maps to an object on the right, and for each property, it's going to say, okay, so square root is math square root, pi is math pi, etc. So now the math references are removed from the code, and it's very safe now to use. Problem 7, sum the squares. So this is kind of the functional procedural thing. It's kind of functional because you've got a map function followed by a reduce, but it has a very procedural feel to it. Do one thing and do the other. You map to get the squares and you reduce to add them. ES6 introduces array comprehensions. And array comprehensions give you two things. They give you a for of operator, which was never there before, was never in ES5. And whilst for in, which you're probably familiar of, iterates keys, for of iterates values, which is probably a lot more useful in most cases, and keeps your code size down too. And in addition, we get a compact expression thrown in there. So that's this thing here. So it's like a function. It's also like an arrow function, but it's even more compact than that. You don't need any function keyword in there. And so all this is saying, for every value of the array, apply the expression to it. So this gives you the sum. This gives you the squares. And this allows you to sum those. And again, we're using the arrow function there to sum them. Number 8. So this is the module pattern, which has been around in JavaScript for a few years. And the idea is some things are private, and you don't need to expose them. And a common example of that is the ID generator, whereby you want to return a function, and every time you call that function, you want to increment the ID. And this function can be called by as many clients as you like, and they'll all just they won't overlap with each other. They'll all get the subsequent one. So this is how you do it. This is the classic module pattern code in ES5. In ES6 we can use something called defaults, and that means in your argument list you can assign a default for if no argument was actually passed. So rather than in the body of the code having to check that, we can just put it directly in the argument string. And we're using two arrow functions, and this might not look completely clear, and I'm sure some of the experts are going to tell us not to do this kind of thing. I think it's pretty nice. I think we could get familiar with this doing it. So this is the module as a whole, and this is for the increment function. And so now we just call ID generator pass 1,000, returns a function which has an incrementer in it, and there we have it. There's another version of the module pattern which is called the revealing module pattern. And the revealing module pattern returns an object hash with a key value for each function. So say we wanted a reset function in here. We wanted to reset the ID to 0 whenever it was called. So now we've got two functions you want to return. The ID you still want to remain private, so we return a hash here. In ES6, you can just have an arrow for each function, an arrow for the module as a whole. The default is passed here. We're doing another little trick here, which is literal shorthand. Suppose you're creating an object literal, and the key and value are the same. The name of the key and the name of the value is the same. Then you don't have to repeat them. So instead of reset ID colon reset ID, you can just put the thing once, put the comma the same here. So again, it removes a lot of code, makes it a lot more concise. Resolving the options, so you're all familiar with this. Sometimes you've got a lot of arguments, you don't want to pass them, so you have an options object. Do a couple of things here. First, we check whether the options object was actually passed. Then you want to log A, B, and C, and you want to have defaults of 3, 4, 5 if they weren't actually supplied. In ES6, again, you can use the defaults to supply default values. You can also have a destructuring assignment. So destructuring assignments can also appear in the arguments list too. So this means I'm creating an argument here, one argument A, B, and C from a single object that was passed in. So before you even go into the function, the body of the function, you've already passed the arguments out. This is what you're going to use, and then you simply can log them here. And that's all you have to do. So next, and number 11 is support negative array indexes. So for some array functions like slice, for example, you can pass a negative argument, and instead of counting from the beginning, it counts from the end. But if you're simply accessing an element in an array, you can't. So if we try to do that in ES5, it just complains. It doesn't like that. It doesn't actually allow you to supply a negative argument. So you have to do something like this. And getting the last element of an array in every other language except JavaScript is really simple. In JavaScript, you have to do this kind of thing, which is pretty awkward. So there's a thing in ES6 called proxies, which basically allows you to stub out almost any operator. And with proxies, we can create a make smart array function. I'm going to show you in a second how that actually works. You could have a make smart array, which returns an array, fully functioning. You pass an array as an argument, a fully functioning array comes out. And then you see if we ask for the minus oneth element, we get 3 there. And then it does everything an array can do, so you can push 4, and now element 3 is 2 from the end. So you can access it like that. So how do we do that? Slightly more complicated. Proxies are actually hard. Of all the syntax in ES6, I think proxies is the most complex syntax. And all the ES6 transpilers, none of them do it exactly the same way. So it took me a while to figure out what the correct syntax here is. But what we're doing is we're stubbing out the access. We're using get here to stub out the array property access. And this is the array, and this is the property key. This is the key. If the key is a negative number, just put some code to make it count from the end. Otherwise, just do exactly what you just return what you would always return. And so that basically, going backwards, that allows you to do something like that. This is the final one. Didn't know what to call this, but I called it null safe property chains. And you're probably all familiar with this, right? You want the last name, but you have to do this crazy thing because anything, there could be an undefined anywhere there. Sale, actually, I called it sale. I didn't want to call it sale. I wanted to call it transaction, but the slide, there wasn't enough space. So I'm calling it sale. And so you have to do sale and then sale person name, sale person name last. In fact, some people don't even let you do the ampersand shortcut. You have to do like if sale and if sale person, blah, blah, blah. And it all gets pretty convoluted. Somebody created a library in ES5 that works for ES5. where you can wrap your sail in this object, in this null safe object. It's quite nice. It's quite a nice library, and the trouble is the syntax is not nice. It doesn't even look like JavaScript syntax, and the implementation, as you can see, is like really, really big to do something that should be fairly simple. In ES6, you can use a proxy. So two things are happening. This is a null proxy. Two things are happening here. We are overwriting toString to identify to anyone who's returned this that this is a null proxy. We're also saying if the result of P of T is undefined or any other falsy, then create a brand new instance of the proxy. So this is like recursive things where every null proxy that tries to assign, whenever you get a null property of a null proxy, it replaces it with another null proxy, basically. The effect of that, complicated as it sounds, is you can just go ahead and do what you like without having to check for undefined. And in this case, that one of these things, we don't know which, we don't really care, there wasn't a value for it, and then we just return null proxy to say I wasn't able to get this name because there was an undefined somewhere. So, this is a very important slide to me, and I've kind of touched on this before, but only by playing and making mistakes do we actually learn how to use something. So I really encourage you to go out and use ES6 now as much as you can. And things are not going to work. Strange things are going to happen. But you're going to learn, and you're going to be ahead of the curve. And when the blog posts come out and the books come out, telling you which subset of ES6 you can use, you'll have a head start because you'll be using all of it or as much as you want to. So where can you currently play with ES6? So Firefox is definitely the best place. They're pretty good. They've implemented most of it. I don't think the arrow functions are in there yet for some reason. And a couple of other syntaxes are the wrong way round. So I think that array comprehensions, the expression goes in front of the array comprehension in Firefox. It should go afterwards. But most of my examples should work in Firefox. If you don't want to use Firefox, you can use Chrome. Just turn on the enable experimental JavaScript flag. But Chrome, up to now, only has a subset of what Firefox supports. Here's some other ways too. I like Tracer in particular because it feels like a kind of old-fashioned transpiler where you write the ES6 on the left, you see ES3, the transpiled ES3 on the right-hand side, which really helps you to understand what's actually happening when you try ES6. It's like if you've seen the CoffeeScript site, there's the try CoffeeScript there, and it's very much the same kind of thing. So I use Tracer for a lot of this code when I was trying to understand how stuff worked. But just be warned that it's not they don't fully support what's in the ES6 spec so far. Here's some resources. So there's a mailing list. There's the ES Discuss mailing list where they discuss the ES6 spec and they're still adding stuff and still arguing. I try to stay away from that because it's really like all the threads go on forever. There's like 100 emails per thread. They're not always particularly receptive to outsiders unless they've read everything and understand everything. But there's a good Twitter account, which is ES Discuss, and in that they basically let you know when anything interesting has happened, so you can go to the ES Discuss list to find out more. And there's also ES Discuss org, which is a nice UI on the front of the ES Discuss mailing list. And David Herman's got a nice site here, which talks about a lot of the features that I've talked about, and it goes into more depth explaining them. Kangax, as always, has got a really good compatibility table. It's a huge grid with every ES6 feature and every browser, and he tells you which features work for each. And then if you're really hardcore and you want to look at the standard itself, then here's where to find it. This is an HTML version, which is slightly easier to look at. You know, anyone who's looked at the standards, they're not always the most clearly explained things in the world. But if you really want to know exactly how something works, here it is. And I found myself reading through some of this when I was preparing the slides here. And that's it.